think you could tell us what to wear?
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is The Real. At Tyler Drew Scott today. No at degenerates because Tyler doesn't have access to that. You can text the show, though, 713-780-3776. And you can also catch us on the Twitch channel as we broadcast from studio today. Miss the first hour, all Texans, which, honestly, I really didn't want to talk Texans for an hour because...
I mean, you knew it was going to happen.
I know, but I just feel like it's the same bleep that we've been saying about this team for years. I almost feel like we could... I think we should just record that hour and next week after the Falcons game, play it back.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen. I haven't even looked at the line yet, but I'm going to probably bet Tyler's future on the Falcons this week. By the way, how'd you... I know...
My betting went disastrously. Don't ask.
Okay. Well,
it's horrible.
I'm gonna I get to pat myself on the back a little bit.
My first losing weekend of football.
Really?
I've been rolling, and then this weekend hit me like a truck.
I had week two, I had a 1-4 record on my pregame picks. Everything else has been winning weeks, and this week was my second 5-0.
Oh, look at you.
And including 2-0 in the NFL, had the Browns plus 7. That was a game I liked. And
that was one of my few wins.
And I had Jacksonville plus 3 at Denver. And then all my college, including my college play of the year so far, which was Oklahoma State, came through.
Nice.
So that and all the money I made at Santa Anita on Saturday, good weekend. And then I have to deal with this crap. So, all right, well, this is usually where we go through the rest of the league, and there were some interesting games. And I do want to say that, I mean, part of the thing on Monday is you overreact to something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think. There's a lot of, oh, Deshaun Watson's trash. He hasn't developed.
I'm not saying he's trash. True. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm just trying to say we got to stop with this. Deshaun's a top five quarterback in the league because it's just factually inaccurate.
I don't know that anybody said that, but I think top 10 wise, yeah, but he's not consistent enough yet.
Lance just said he thinks he can be a top five guy. Like, yeah. I hear that all the time.
He thinks he can be. He didn't say he is. And O'Brien, I mean, I think O'Brien's the issue here with him. You know, I can't put it all on him. Regardless, there's a lot of other fan bases that probably feel the same way today because there were some weird freaking results yesterday.
There certainly were.
And we'll start with...
Including for the Chiefs, who won, but still shouldn't feel great about that showing.
No, and I thought the Lions actually did a pretty good job of slowing Mahomes down for the most part until late.
Especially in the first half.
Yeah. But that's how good the Chiefs are. They don't play their best, but they still come out and get the win. And the Lions may not be garbage. The Lions are, you know, they're 2-1-1 now with their only loss being to one of, the two best teams in the NFL. So, yeah, but Mahomes wound up with 350. My favorite play of that entire game was the Travis Kelce catch and pitch.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Gosh, I wish every team was that creative. But then, you know. They didn't try that.
Then we wouldn't have anything to bitch about.
No. Titans go in and beat the Falcons.
Boy, that you talk about a queer result.
Matt Ryan throws for almost 400 yards in that game, and they score 10 points?
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting stat right there.
But what have I been saying about the Falcons all along? They suck in the red zone. And it's a consistent problem, and it has been for a long time. And it makes no sense when you have some of the players they have on that offense.
Well, when you think about what their running game is, it kind of does make sense because there's no threat of them running near the goal line.
Yeah.
But it's definitely hindering them right now.
Patriots go in and beat the Bills 16-10. But I have to say, this Bills team, they don't turn the ball over. They may be a 9-7 playoff team.
They could be. Defensively, they've turned into one of the better teams defensively. They've still got issues on offense. They're never gonna, I mean, I don't think they're capable of being great on offense, but they're gonna stick around in games. Yeah. I think this is also, I mean, Josh Allen turns it over three times, Matt Barkley turns it over once, and they still only lose by six. So it's not like they played they kind of played poorly, but their defense kept them in it. I think also something to consider is I don't think the Patriots offense is all that good. I mean, this isn't like a 1 week sample now. Like, we've seen 4 weeks
this
of them.
This is the first time they've played a decent defense.
Yeah.
And there you see the result. And I mean, I think a better than decent defense. But they've been playing garbage and putting up points against garbage teams.
I don't think they're all that great on defense or on offense.
Okay, here's if you're Colts fan today, you're feeling like Texans fan. Where the hell did that come from? Raiders go in and beat the Colts.
I mean, I liked the Raiders to cover. I didn't know they were going to go in there and just blow their doors off. But that was an impressive win for the Raiders and probably one that they needed for their confidence. And
don't look now, but they're 2-2 and they're not, you know, things aren't looking so bad for them.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the Texans needed that result too.
Yeah.
Now everybody's 2-2 and suddenly their start doesn't look as crappy.
The entire division's 2-2. So really nothing matters yet. Nothing really matters. Chargers go into Miami and slap the Dolphins, and no surprise there. They did cover the 16.5, though. I thought long and hard about giving 16.5. And remember, we were talking about all the reasons why ordinarily I would go against the Chargers here, and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Didn't Fezzik take the Dolphins?
I think he did.
Yeah. Or was it RJ that took the Dolphins?
No, Fezzik. RJ took the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
You were the only one right this week.
Oh, wonder what that says about me. Nothing.
I had the square ass.
Well, but you
Chiefs,
know what? Yeah, but you.
RJ had the square ass Cowboys.
Yeah, to be fair, you probably would have taken the Browns if I hadn't.
No, I think I would have. I mean,
you would have stuck with the Chiefs.
I think I would have taken the Chiefs. Because I had to take Chiefs -7 for that for that contest. I probably would have taken the Browns, but I liked both picks.
Big day for Philip Rivers. Big day for Austin Eckler, which I'm very happy about because that's my fantasy team combo. And
well, you might want to sell high on Austin Eckler.
Yeah, that's what I'm about. Well, fortunately, I've had David Johnson on the bench all year because my other running back's Dalvin Cook.
Oh, okay.
So I'm in pretty good shape with that team. Giants beat the Redskins 24-3. Now you called this one.
I did.
Thought you were all over the Giants.
I didn't bet them very heavy because I just didn't feel great about it. But I did think the Giants were. I think people were like, oh, it's one game for Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones has some potential. You know, I think that guy could play, and I think that, you know, because of where he got drafted in the initial, oh my God, I can't believe they took him. I don't think that means he's a bad quarterback. I think the guy's all right. So I'm not ready to throw him out yet. And, you know, the Redskins are horrible. I don't think the Giants are suddenly some sort of a contender. They're not. They're a bad team still. But, I think the Giants are maybe the reaction to Daniel Jones being drafted, Giants fan, maybe you overreacted a little.
Yeah,
he's all right.
Because he sure looked better than Dwayne Haskins did in his first effort. Mm-hmm. But I think the Giants might have just gotten better by subtracting Eli.
Might have been.
And that maybe the guy just can't play anymore.
But, think about that. Had I told you they'd be playing with Daniel Jones, Odell Beckham's in Cleveland, and Saquon Barkley's hurt, I mean, you'd expect them to be really, really awful. Yeah. And through two games, they look solid.
And they're not. And they're, again, another 2-2 team where, yeah, if you're 2-2 right now, you're not dead. You don't know what you are yet.
Yep.
That's okay. All right. You've got people. We'll come back to the rest of the
show. Yeah. New sponsor on board, Zero Latency. This is it's Houston's first free roam warehouse scale, fully immersive virtual reality gaming experience. It sounds crazy, and it kind of is crazy. It's basically you put on this virtual reality headset, and you're in a whole different world, and you're playing these games, shooter games, or what, in a whole different world. They've got the zombie survival game. They've got several shooters games, but then they've got Outbreak Origins. They've got tons of games. You can play on teams. You can play solo. It's great for family fun. It's great for if you're looking for like a team building activity for your office. It's a great thing for that. It's a great family night, reunion, whatever. It's just a fun thing. They're off I-10 just past the Beltway. Take the Derry Ashford exit and U-turn, and it's down there next to Cavender's and Chili's and Whataburger. You're gonna love this place, guys. It's been created on the Slam platform, which transports the player's real-world location into the virtual reality scene, and it is just unbelievable. You've got to check it out for yourself. Grand opening is going to be October 12th. Book your spot now. ZLHouston.com. That's ZLHouston.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And we're going through the other NFL games. And then we'll get some phone calls and stuff and get caught up on everything else. But Browns going to beat the Ravens 40-25, and this is one where I really liked the Browns a lot in this game going. Nick Chubb was terrific.
Boy, he was the difference.
Yeah, and I mean, that 88-yard touchdown run. And to me, the Browns are going to be a high-variance team all year because they're so emotional. And I think part of that's their quarterback. When they get you down, I think they're going to be able to put you away. And if they're behind, they're going to throw picks and pout and lose. In this case, they got the Ravens down and took care of business.
Well, the reality is the Ravens are not a team that's built to be okay turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And Ingram fumbled. Lamar Jackson had a couple picks. Almost lost another fumble. They just can't. They're not built for that. They're a run-heavy team.
Well, how many teams are? Oh, the Panthers, I guess.
Yeah.
The Sorry.
But you can't turn the ball over and win if you're Baltimore, and Cleveland took advantage of it.
But I guarantee if you're a Raven fan, you feel like Texans fan today. It's like, oh, that's a game you're supposed to win. Browns at home, and it's a division game, which makes it
worse. But at least that wasn't close. The Texans fan, and I know Texan fan will do this. They'll try and be like, oh, it was only a 6-point loss.
So, you know what? I'm not hearing any of that from Texans fan. I think Texans fan is fed up with this crap.
They should be.
Yeah, I'm not hearing the, oh, they were so close thing anymore. It's time to get past that. Okay, here's another one that just absolute head scratcher, and I kind of feel bad for the old people, or good for the old people that were sitting next to me at the bar the other night who came in their Buccaneers gear to go to L.A. Very friendly people, and their team puts up 55 on the Rams.
Dude, you talk about a head scratching result.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, the Bucs were one of my favorite bets this weekend.
Yeah.
I had Bucs plus 10. That was one of my good plays. Unfortunately, I had under 48.5 in this game.
Yeah, if you were betting that, not thinking the Rams would put up 40.
I mean,
55?
If you told me the Bucs would score 55 points, I would have thought you were on drugs.
Well, your over almost happened in the fourth quarter. I mean, they put up 44 between them.
I mean, it was almost over at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a really odd game because the Rams have been so stout defensively. The Bucs have been so poor offensively. The Rams had been poor offensively, and it just turned into a shootout, which I didn't expect to see. But
well, and once the Rams got down, Goff had to pass, and he wound up with a pretty big day.
I mean, 517 yards of passing, yeah, that's pretty big.
Seahawks go in and beat the Cardinals, and not that that was unexpected, but the one thing that will kind of stick in Texans fans' craw.
Jadeveon Clowney with a pick six.
Yeah, for J.D. Clowney, yep.
If only the Texans would have had 6 more points.
Yeah, I wonder if that would have happened. Well, then it would have gone to overtime and they would have lost.
Well, I would say they'd kick the extra point, but that's not a given anymore with the Texans.
Right.
Apparently the kicking game's not a problem.
No, according to O'Brien, there's nothing wrong with Fairbairn.
Yeah, I thought that game was interesting. Again, that's another game I misread how I knew the Seahawks would cover. I felt good about that. I misread how the game would be played. I thought it'd be a really high-scoring game, and the Cardinals held to 10 points. Kyler has 240 yards passing. Russ has 240 yards passing. I just expected it to be more like the Rams-Bucks game, and they just played a really grinded, slow-paced game.
Cardinals need to figure out the red zone, too. That's another team. They're pretty good between the – not good. They're average between the 20s, but they just can't score points down there very often, and – I think the potential is there for them to be better than last year, which wouldn't be saying much. But it's, you know, they've got to start getting some things right.
Bears, I don't have much hope for the Cardinals.
I'm thinking 5 wins, 6 wins is possible, but they've got to. Yeah, right now, they're not there.
What are they, 0-3-1 right now?
They're 0-3-1. So,
man, if they get 5 wins, I'd be really impressed. That'd be a hell of a turnaround.
Well, I can see there's enough there to think they can start winning some games at some point. It's just not happening yet. Bears, Vikings, old school, NFC North, ugly fest, 16-6 Bears win it. The Bears defense is terrific, and they took away Dalvin Cook for the most part. Made Kirk Cousins try to beat him. Guess what? Kirk Cousins can't beat you.
Kirk Cousins sucks, man. And Dalvin Cook sucked yesterday. That was the
he couldn't get any. There was no room for him to run. The Bears just basically said, we're going to stop him and make Kirk Cousins beat us.
I mean,
and they're good enough to do that. Most teams aren't.
Yeah. I don't know. Kirk Cousins is now... I've always thought, you know, the guy puts up big numbers. He did. He has a little bit of Jay Cutler to him.
I've been saying that for years. You make fun of me.
Well, I mean, listen, the stats were there. And
they always are, but then the turnovers at key times are.
But here's the thing. Well, he didn't turn it over yesterday. But, well, he did. No, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he had a fumble.
And Diggs had a fumble at a bad time, too. But when you think about how this team's built, they've got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. They've got Dalvin Cook. Their offensive line isn't horrible. Their defense is good. Why do they suck? At some point, you just have to look at it and go, well, I mean, I guess that's why. I mean, it could be coaching, too. I don't know that they're necessarily the best coach team.
I do think they're pretty well coached. I would take Mike Zimmer right now and I would trade Bill O'Brien.
Well, yeah, of course you would.
And I would throw
and
you
how many in, more first-round picks?
I would throw you into the deal since they're out of first-round picks. But I also think, you know, I mean, Cousins, a lot of the things we're talking about today, they should be talking about Kirk Cousins. He held onto the ball too long, six sacks.
Six sacks, yeah.
And, I mean, it was just a poor performance. But also, on the flip side, I think this was a terrific performance by the Bears defense. We talked about this earlier. They're celebrating Trubisky getting hurt because Chase Daniel was better. That's crazy.
It is wild.
Jags go in and beat the Broncos. This was a game that I liked the Jags all along, but I did not expect Leonard Fournette to go off for 225.
No, and it took the Jags a while to get any kind of offense going, and at halftime it looked like they were really in trouble. It looked like the Gardner Minshew magic was maybe gone. But then you're right. They really did get Leonard Fournette rolling in the second half, and which I think is going to be vital for them all season long. If he runs the ball well, because Gardner Minshew, I mean, he's fine for what he is, but we got to remember he's still a rookie. Yeah. He's still not supposed to be great. But he does kind of what we're talking about with Deshaun and Kirk Cousins holding onto the ball a little bit too long. He's trying to make some magic happen. I don't know how long that's going to work out for him, but it worked out here because Joe Flacco not able to make some big throws late, and really the Broncos just they're not. I don't know what's wrong with them offensively. They're just so vanilla, and I don't want to say they sucked on offense because I don't think they did, but
I don't think they're very well coached on that side.
I don't think so
either.
There's no threat of them really burning you. I don't know. They're just a milquetoast team.
The last game was the one last night. Another one that, boy, none of us saw this coming. And I should have known when the line never moved off of 2.5.
Dude, I said it out loud. It feels crazy because everybody was on the Cowboys and the number won't budge. Everybody I knew was on the Cowboys and the number wouldn't budge. And turns out, and think about this, Fred. What kind of line would you have made if I said Saints are only going to kick field goals? They won't score a single touchdown. Like, how much of a favorite would you have made Dallas?
Eight? Nine?
Not a single touchdown. Yeah.
But credit to the Saints defense, which was really good.
Dude, you get nothing, Zeke.
Yeah. I mean, they shut him down.
Which, one thing I will say, that fumble, I don't like that call.
Yeah.
That's a bad call. And even when they review it and they're like, oh, the play stands, no ref, when you watch the replay, no ref had a view on that fumble, but the Saints players jumped up with their arms, so the refs just looked around and, well, Saints ball.
Yeah, and then there was nothing.
And then they go to the review, and there's nothing to overturn it, but his elbow was down. That's a bad call.
I thought it was a bad call as well, and I thought despite only scoring,
I mean, not that the Saints aren't due for a call to go their way.
No, I guarantee you there's not a single Saint fan that's out there going, yeah, you know what? You're right. It's a bad call. No, you owe us three more, bitches.
But one thing that still rings true is Teddy Bridgewater's not good.
They've managed to get two wins against very tough teams with that guy playing quarterback. And all you want to do is, I always say, you just want to tread water till you get Drew Brees back. You're 3-1, and you're not going to have to be without him that much longer. If you can keep this up and have a better than .500 record when you get Brees back.
Well, my question is, when did the Saints defense come back?
Yeah.
Like, when Drew Brees is there, they're just like, we don't play defense. Now, all right, we're locked in.
Yeah, well, they don't look like that same defense the Texans played, I can tell you
that.
No. So, Well, and then there's action tonight if you want to get in. And you know,
not for me.
Yeah, I'm not interested in this game tonight. And a lot of people have asked, "What do you think?" And say, "I'm not betting this one." But I had a pretty good weekend, and you know, got the Jaguars, got the Browns, got the University of Cincinnati was an easy one. Oklahoma State, just a good weekend betting wise. And you can jump in on the same stuff. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag. They've got every game covered. They've got props. They got whatever you want. And the good news is, you win, nobody pays out faster. They will pay you. You can also bet in-game, which is fantastic. And they've got college, NFL, baseball. You want to bet on what the Astros are going to do? You can do that. You want to join Mattress Mack with one of those big plays? Hockey starting up this week? Guess what? You can bet on that as well. MyBookie.ag is the place to go. And if you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit. How about that? Up to $1,000 in free money to wager on your favorite teams. But to do it, you got to use our promo code. Promo code radio, and you'll get your exclusive double your money offer. That's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, I want to get Darren on because he's been on hold for 2 days. So let's let Darren weigh in. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I really have been on hold for like 2 days. But yeah, I wanted to get in real quick because when I first tuned in, I heard AJ kind of just wailing away at Deshaun Watson, and I was just about to like let him have it. But then after listening to you guys for a while, I completely agree because that's exactly the way I feel about the Texans offense and team in general, is we finally get a star quarterback that's capable of taking Houston to the promised land, and the coach is the one that keeps on holding this team backwards. So I guess my issue is maybe Deshaun might need to just sabotage the season and secretly just work against Bill O'Brien and just tank the rest of the season to get him out of here. Because just like Lance said, even with an 8-8 season, I don't think Bill O'Brien is going anywhere. He's probably even with 7-9. So it's like, I just don't know what is going to change here if Bill O'Brien is still here. Because I think Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback. Yes, he has some flaws. But just like AJ said as well, if he had Andy Reid calling the plays for him, or just anybody that actually knew how to work a damn playbook calling the plays, this team might actually be better. But it's just so frustrating to watch, and I'm really not even excited to watch the Texans on Sundays anymore. Like, I enjoy watching other teams on Red Zone. So that's much of sense.
I don't know that tanking is a good idea because Deshaun's still on his rookie contract.
And they don't have a first-round pick anyway.
Yeah, he'd like to get some money. And, yeah, tanking doesn't do you a lot of good when you don't have a draft pick. And then you come back to another year of this nonsense if they don't fire Bill. So
they're not firing Bill. We're stuck with this for the
rest. Lance made it sound like it's a real possibility. I just don't believe it.
We're stuck with this for the rest of our radio lives, AJ. This is what we're going to have to deal with. But I swear I've written the same column about this clown 15 times. I just do it from different angles, so it'll be original. But what are you going to do? All right, 713-780-ESPN. Couple of things. Do we have the times now for the ALDS?
I don't know that they're. I mean, you said somebody tweeted them, but are they official?
He tweeted them. I verified on MLB.com. Friday, the ALDS game one wild card versus Houston is at 2:05 Eastern. So 1:05 Central, and then Saturday's game is 9:07 Eastern, 8:07 Central.
Okay.
Both of those will be available right here on our station.
That's right.
Because the program director and the assistant program director did a real nice job.
And we don't want the usual suspects on Friday. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, we were all rooting for it to be 1 o'clock and not 4 o'clock.
Let's be honest.
So we'll be broadcasting from the downtown Marriott after the game. So
Courtyard by Marriott.
Courtyard by Marriott, right. Which is walking distance. So after the game, when you want to get your drink on and celebrate, then come on by and see us. Or if you're not going to the game, it's a great place to come watch the game and hang out with us. So we'll be talking about that a lot. We haven't had a chance to mention Astros too much, but wrapped up a really good season. I mean, you can't. There's no real complaints about having the best record in baseball. You've got the Cy Young winner. It's just a matter of which one. I think my vote would go to Cole now, but I mean, nobody's going to fault either guy. But the playoffs, different animal. And I don't want to be the one to throw water on this because, historic season across the board. Remember when the Mariners won all those games and had an historic season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember? You think you're feeling that?
I'm really worried because the two teams that won, whichever one they face, don't really seem to have any fear for the Astros. And they've played them pretty well this year. Now, I know everything gets ratcheted up in the postseason, but... Yeah, I just feel like there's, and maybe it's the longtime Houston fan in me that just thinks there might be a clunker coming. I have no reason for it other than it's just typical Houston fan paranoia. But I'm worried about either the A's or the Rays. They're not as good as the Astros, but you don't have to be to win three games.
No.
And we've seen it. Those teams have played them well all year.
And both those teams have it's easy to say, well, Verlander will win his start, Cole will win his start. Sean Manaea, since he's come back from injury for the A's, has just been... I don't know if he'll pitch... I don't know if the wild card pitching matchup's announced yet. Has it been?
No.
Actually...
Is Chuck Morton pitching the wild card game?
I do think Chuck Morton's pitching.
Scherzer versus Woodruff for National League, and Oakland has not announced theirs, but Morton is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope it's Sean Manaea, because it'd be nice for the Astros not to have to see him. And if they do, just see him once. Yeah. Same with Morton.
Charlie was speculating that it would be Fires, but I think I would go with Manaea.
Fires has done it all season long. He's the more he's got the better resume to do it. But Manaea, since he's been back, has just been unbelievable.
And that's the thing. If he comes back, and even Verlander could pitch great and give up two runs, and we saw it when they lost to the Tigers when they were minus whatever it was. You lose a game like that, and suddenly. I mean, in a five-game series, man, I don't want to say anything can happen, but a lot of bad things can happen to good teams. All it takes is your bats to go cold for a couple of games, which we've seen. And when they've had bad stretches, one of them was playing the A's. And, hell, Tampa played them well early in the season and then, not bad when they played here. So I don't think those are just locks. And I think the Astros will win. But, boy, if they get into a real series where that thing's 2-2, you're going to feel really good about it?
I don't think so.
And I don't – my gut tells me they're not going to lose more than one game in the series. But, man, if they do, if the other team can steal one, I'll be a little nervous.
Sean Manaea, since he's been back, 5 starts, 4-0 with a 1.21 ERA, 30 strikeouts in 29 innings, so a strikeout per inning. I mean, he's just been money. Yeah, and they might have to see that guy twice. So it's no given. I mean, I feel like the Astros are. Imagine now. Now you got me thinking about this. If they lose,
well, wouldn't that be?
Oh, that'd be so Houston.
Well, not only that though. I mean, imagine how deflating that would be.
Dude, that would be deflating to me. Like for the most part, I begrudgingly cover sports in this town, and these other teams make me bitter and angry about sports, and this is like the one happy story in this town, and now
I'm not trying to put that evil on you, Ricky Bobby, but I do think everyone's just kind of assuming they're just going to march through, and it's going to be them and the Yankees.
That was me.
Oh, that's everybody. It's not just you. By the way, Astros Twitter is so pathetic. I know you've had your run-ins with them. But now their whole thing is like the Texans are some kind of competition. Like, dog the Texans. That's what Astros Twitter does now. I honestly, look, we know the Texans are not the Astros. Come on. You don't need to be doing that. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We got a gym of the day when we come back. And we'll mix it up a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour because we got some colleges to get to. We got some boxing we need to talk about. Need to talk about our trip to LA and all kinds of other things. And I've got a couple of non-sportsy texts that I want to get to at some point. So we got an hour left to do it. We'll see if we can. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
The Ziegenbach Music Festival is returning to Sam Houston Race Park on October 18th and 19th for the 17th consecutive year. The two-day event features music from Texas country legends like Aaron Watson, Josh Abbott Band, Casey Donahue, Roger Krieger, and many more. Caller 10 at 550 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets for Saturday night of the festival. Tickets are on sale now at SHRP.com. Isn't Josh Abbott the big Texas Tech guy who does recruiting and stuff? We had him on once.
I'd be lying if I answered that question. Tyler says yes. I have okay. No idea.
Aaron Watson is Deshaun's brother.
Yeah, I knew that.
That much we know. And Casey Donahue is...
That's Phil Donahue's son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Casey Anthony's ex, so
no.
I'm confused.
No, that's first names.
Oh, duh. I don't know. A couple things before we get to the gym. Golfer B says, I don't know how y'all are competing with the Billy O Show on 610 right now. I get that there are Texan stations, but they don't question him at all. Listen, no kidding. Hey, I think they've got a lot of talented people over there, but their whole thing is they've gone all in on the Texans, and every show is pretty much an advertisement for the Texans, and I'm certain that's the O'Brien show is going to be. Man, I want them to be good. They got players I like. I think J.J. Watt, and I love the way Whitney Merciless is playing, and I'm a big Watson fan. And, you know, but I also think, you know, it's just so hard to like this team with Billy O running everything. It really is. Asking for Friend says, does anybody worry about the layoff? Talking about the Astros. Not so much pitching, but timing for the hitters, momentum or sharpness. If my memory serves me, there were some struggles after the All-Star break. That's the age-old question, right? Rest versus rest.
I mean, you'd rather rest than play a wild card game, certainly.
Yeah, and I you want to be able to line up your rotation the way you want. And so, there's always a chance of that. But I'm not too worried about that. I just think...
The great thing about not being in being in the Astros position where they're going to play the wild card team is typically means the wild card team burned their best pitcher already.
Yeah.
And you're set up where you start at number one in your rotation, they have to start at number two.
And they're going to... they're only going to be able to use that guy once.
Yep.
And in a pinch, you could use...
Well, in a five-game series, they could use him a second time.
Not if he's starting game three.
Oh, no, probably not.
Because if he pitches a wild card, he's probably not pitching again until game three. Maybe game two, and you could do it, but...
Depends on who the guy is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine the Astros would pitch Verlander game two and game five.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. Or Garrett Cole. I mean, you don't know if you're going to have Garrett Cole back, so I'll throw him... I'll totally CC Sabathia his ass if I have to. I'm out there every game.
That's what the Brewers did. Make Cole start every game.
Yeah. go Verlander, Cole... Grinke, Cole, Verlander, Grinke.
Now's the time to call his agent. Hey, is Cole willing to take that hometown discount? No? Okay. Cole, you're starting. I started last night, coach. You're starting. Get out there. Throw it.
So his thoughts on Gallant's move to Seattle. Happy for him.
Yep, good for him, man.
Yeah, I'm glad he got a job. I knew he wouldn't be out long. I'm kind of sorry to see him go because he was really adding some great stuff to Sports Map. But, you know, I'm happy for him. And I even told him if he ever feels like writing stuff for us, you know, please do. And I have a relationship question from someone who's texted us before and asked us questions. And we've given her answers that I don't know if she likes them or not, but we've given her answers. She says basically she and her husband stay home a lot because they're not social people.
Sounds familiar.
He says... But lately, he claims he's drinking again to help him sleep at night. Okay. He drinks about 4 Bud Light premiums on a night, which is about equal to 6 regular-sized Bud Lights. And to me, that's a little much for an every-night routine. What do you think? I'm probably the wrong.
Does he work all day?
Well, that's the thing. If you work all day and you come home and you're stressed.
Does he have a stressful job?
Yeah. Even if you don't have a stressful job, sometimes you got to unwind. And, you know, I come home sometimes and I'll have... little vodka or a little whiskey to just chill, and it helps me sleep. Of course, I usually put an edible on top of it so I can sleep.
I shudder to think, like, I'll usually drink, not every night, but a lot of nights I'll go home and I'll drink a couple beers, and I you know, the beers I'm drinking are, each one is equivalent to
12 Bud Lights.
Three or four yeah. Bud Lights. And I'll drink a couple of those. So, I mean, I don't know. But I don't do it every night either. And I never tell my wife I'm doing it to try to go to sleep. There's melatonin for that. I drink alcohol to catch a buzz when I get home from work.
Yeah, it to relax, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I would just say, you know, I don't really think it's that bad.
I mean, every night, a six-pack a night, that's probably a little much. Mm. But you know what? I'm not a doctor either.
All right.
If he starts smacking you around or smacking the kids around, okay, now you got a problem.
But I don't know. I don't see too much wrong with it. I mean, this, especially depending on what your job is, man. I mean,
plus, why are you beer counting, girl? I mean, you let that man. I mean, you can every time you hear a bottle crack, you're chicken off a tick. Come on, let that man live a little.
I would just. Tell you, you know, if you don't like it, then
tell him to pack his stuff.
Yeah,
tell him to take your
kick him
your,
out.
Your what's his Budweiser what platinum?
Yeah, platinum.
Take your Budweiser platinum and get out. Tell him.
All right, let's do the.
That's your alternative, right?
Yeah, either that or just say, all right, if you keep doing this, I'm going to start banging the neighbor.
Yeah, do it.
That would be my.
Do it.
All right, here's your Zad. I don't actually go bang the neighbor. Okay, I'm just kidding about that. Here's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I don't know if you guys still have any of your toys from when you were kids, but some of the things that we had back in the day are worth a fortune now.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I threw all my crap away. I'm not a hoarder. I can't do it.
Well,
I'm an anti-hoarder.
I think I might have some at my grandmother's place because, like, there's a room where we never threw anything away. But Esquire did a list of the 40 things from your childhood that could make you money now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the toys, you know, like, there's some of the old Star Wars toys and things like that. But, just to give you a couple of examples, a G.I. Joe aircraft carrier from back in the day, worth $6,000. A Princess Diana Beanie Babies worth $200. Dracula's Curse on the NES is worth $9,000. Laramie Super Soaker Monster XL is worth a couple hundred bucks. I also, here's one for you. Here, this one's for all my Pokemon people.
All your Pokemon people?
Well,
you don't know anything about Pokemon.
I sure hope my son has one of these because he still has all his Pokemon cards. Your Charizard card from the first generation of Pokemon, 1999, would be worth $67,000. There's reportedly only 120 in existence.
Charizard is like the Honus Wagner of Pokemons.
Yeah, apparently so, but 120 in existence. So
what was his on-base percentage, Charizard's?
I think he came in around 350. He wasn't that impressive. But I don't know how impressive Honus Wagner is either. I just know his card's worth a lot.
It's Hall of Famer, all right.
Okay, well, guess what? Charizard's probably a Hall of Fame Pokemon.
Probably.
Tyler, you would know that. You were a Pokemon guy.
Nope, I was not.
Really?
No. I feel like I'm in that age range, but I just never got into it. Yeah. Aaron might be.
So, okay. Well, I really, you know, I should tell my son. Dude, I hope you got that card. Because he used to have, like, boxes of Pokemon cards. I think he still has them. So, and apparently, okay, so you're now banned from any more advice from us because apparently she asked the other shows the same thing.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Well, yep, sorry. No more questions for us.
Dang, a new Game Boy, like an original Game Boy in the box?
Yeah.
$1,000.
Wow.
I should have kept that stupid Game Boy in the box.
Oh.
That's the thing. When you get toys, you want to open them up and play with them. Like, you don't even think about just leaving that crap in the box and putting it in your attic.
I don't know. I can't find it listed on here because it's a slideshow, so I'm not going to dig through it. But I'm pretty sure I still have one of the wind-up Evel Knievels that And that's got to be worth something. So it's like a motorcycle. You wind it up, you like do the cranking thing, and then it would jump.
Okay.
And I've got some Star Wars stuff, I think, but I have to go. I'd have to go check my grandmother's place and see. All right, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, our day just got better.
Yeah,
look,
it did.
Look, you just walked. You didn't tell me Eric was coming today. I thought he was gone for all of September. Oh, September's almost over.
It's over.
So, yeah, we can get his breakdown of that Broncos game yesterday. So, yeah, Eric Warner will join us, and we'll have a little beer here. Do we have anything to read? No.
No.
We actually don't. That's very odd.
That's new.
So we're just going to go to break then. Thank you. When we come back, I'll have Eric Warner. A lot of stuff to get to still. Happy Monday, everybody. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.